What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be sitting with Adriana Alejandre. She's an LMFAT, a licensed and marriage and family therapist, and she's also the host of Latinx Therapy, a popular podcast about mental health, where Adriana's goal is to break the stigma of mental health as it relates to the Latinx community, learning self-help techniques, how to support ourselves or those around us that struggle with mental illnesses, and creates culture competency for other providers working in the Latinx community population. I met Adriana at the premiere of Perfectos Desconocidos, but you know, for a while I wanted to have her on because I'm very, you know, I support this 100%. I feel like mental health is an issue that we really, like Latinos or like, you know, people of color, we really don't discuss much, and for some reason the stigma about you're crazy if you seek help. I don't agree with that. I feel like if you're going through something, get as much help as you can, you know, like be happy with who you are, because you know, like for personally, I know I have a lot of trauma, a lot of father issues, you know, abandonment issues and all that good stuff that, you know, I feel like I need to talk this through, you know. And I'm sure there's people out here that are going through the same thing as me. There's a lot of issues that we carry that affect us, you know, even though we might think it, they don't, you know, but affect us every day of our lives, you know. And it's good to talk about it to a professional that might be able to help you, you know, get out of wherever you're at if you're going through depression. You know, some topics that she talks about are teen pregnancy, coming out the closet, abuse, physical or mental, you know, and talk about sex. You know, like sex is a taboo topic, you know. I talked about it on my last solo bolo about my experiences through sex, how I learned through sex. And if you guys want to know a little bit more about that, I suggest you go back to the solo bolo number 5, 5, you know, go check that out. But you know, first check out Latinx Therapy. She hits a lot of issues that, you know, as Latinos or people of color, we really don't talk about. So you know, I feel like this podcast will help you, you know, understand yourself a little better and the people around you, and will open up a view of the world that you might not see every day. Highly recommend this. Go make sure you leave her a 5-star review and support her. You know, make sure you go to latinxtherapy.com. That's where she built a website for people that are also in the therapy world, where she wants your guys' help. So if you yourself are a therapist and might want to be featured, go to your Latinx Therapy website. There you can submit your practice, and depending on the whatever you specialize, you might be able to be on the show one day. So if you want to work with Adriana, you could always go on counseling and traumatherapy.com, or you can send her a text at 818-835-5330, and there you can schedule a consultation with her. And you know, you guys could get to know each other, and like I said, you might be featured on one of the episodes. Something that I have to mention is this episode was recorded from long distance, so it might get a little spotty in some places and staticky, or the audio might cut off. That has to do with the way we recorded. Unfortunately, me and her could not sit down, but we did it through online. I don't know how to do it still, even though I did it. You know, she took care of all that good stuff. So in the future, I'm gonna be doing interviews this way, because some of the people I want to interview live really far, and for some it's an issue. So you know, this is the way we did it. So thank you for your patience, and I know you guys are gonna enjoy this episode. Me, I don't really have much at the end of this episode. I didn't do my plugs, so I'm gonna do them now. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at letmeknowpod. You can always email me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com with all your questions or concerns. Don't forget to call the Let Me Know hotline at 424-261-9005, and there I'll give you advice. Maybe you have a joke for me, maybe you have a recommendation, maybe you just want to tell me that I'm doing a great job. I don't know, but please send in your messages. Tell us a story. If you need advice, don't hesitate, send me a message, or you could always call the Let Me Know hotline. Also, I have merch. You can find that at teespring.com www.lemmeknowpod.com/letmeknowpod. There you can find shirts, tank tops, sweaters. I started school yesterday. So actually 2 days ago, I started school. Like I said, I was, all right? So I'm keeping myself accountable. I told you guys I was going to do it. I started already. So starting Wednesday, I'm going to have my own radio show. Or Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday. Starting Wednesday, I'm going to have my own radio show. I want you guys' help, all right? In a couple of different issues or things, all right? So first of all, the name. I was thinking of calling it Let Me Know Pod After Hours or Let Me Know After Hours. And that's pretty much going to be music and little topics, whatever. I still haven't thought it through. Also, I need your guys' help with music, okay? I want you guys to send me music of titles, artists that people might not know of. I'll let you guys know more when I find out more. Like I said, I just started this, and right now they're teaching me how to use the board and get acclimated with everything. So once I know more, I'll let you guys know more. All right. So please keep in mind, I need a DJ name. I asked you guys if you guys could send me a DJ name. So please, if you're listening to this, find a way to get at me. Okay. It could be through Instagram. It could be through Facebook. It could be through my email. It could be through your homie, through your home girl, whoever. But please, if you have any ideas for DJ names, I would really appreciate it. Or even titles for the radio, for the show. Support the show. I still don't know the date or the time. Like I said, once I find out more, I'll let you guys know. So there I could play anything I want as long as it does not have any cursing. Okay, so please send me music that I could find online, that I could find the clean version so I could play it on the radio. You know, this whole, my thing has always been helping others. So my goal is to find undiscovered artists and give them pretty much a platform where they're going to be heard. So I already have a following, and that's you guys. So please share the podcast, share the radio show once I have it all said and done. Share that too, and hopefully you guys are listening to me once I do that, okay? So I'm very, very excited to do it. You know, I don't know what's going to be like, but this is really something I want to do. So hopefully you guys are able to help me out. So please don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. It's very important. 5-star review so we can have more exposure, so the people that I have on get more exposure, okay? If you don't like me, but you like my guests, please do it for my guests, because I try to bring as many people as I can. And I got 39 reviews on iTunes. Can we make that 40 by the end of this week? Please. Please, let's make it 40. You know, I'm trying to hit triple digits, but I can't get away. You know, I'm still at 40. So keep the eye on the prize. Please help me. Tell your friends about us. I have stickers. They're completely free. All I need is the address to send them to. So if you want a sticker, send me an email or DM me at Instagram.com or Instagram at Let Me Know Pod. All right, I think that's going to be about it for me for all this talking. So hope you guys enjoy the show, and don't forget to follow Adriana at Latinx Therapy, and don't forget to check out her website, LatinxTherapy.com. And how about we listen to this interview now? Píntame, le dije al pintor, píntame la carita de la niña más bonita dentro de mi corazón. Pinta, pinta, pinta su carita, sin esa carita hoy me muero yo. Quiero su carita pintada en mi corazón y le dije
se pueda borrar.
Pinta,
pinta su carita,
pinta.
Que yo quiero sentir,
pinta.
Su carita en mi corazón,
pinta.
O si no, yo no puedo vivir.
Pinta,
ay, pinta, píntame,
pinta.
Ay, píntamelo otra vez,
pinta.
Que sin esa niña,
pinta.
Ay, yo me moriré.
Pinta, pinta, pinta su carita.
Sin esa carita, hoy me muero yo. ¡Cógelo!
What's up, everybody? Oh, another episode. Did you guys miss me? I always miss you guys. I don't know. I guess I got abandonment issues 1 week and I already miss you guys. But anyways. Today I'm sitting with Adriana Alejandra. She's a LMFAT. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also the host of Latinx Therapy. I don't know how, when do you release your episodes?
I release them every Tuesday. Every other Tuesday's English and the other Tuesdays are in Spanish.
First of all, like before I start asking you all the questions, I want to know, how's your day?
Oh, it's good. Thank you. I had a few clients in the morning and yeah, now I'm at work with my son. Now I'm at home, I'm sorry, with my son who is on strike with me through this whole LAUSD situation going on.
So like, let's talk about you. How did you get into therapy? I mean, being a therapist.
How did I get into my career? Well, that started off, I didn't even know I was going to do this, to be honest. I went to school for business economics at UC Santa Barbara. So I thought I was going to do business related things, numbers. But I realized I was not good at it at all. And I was actually failing my classes. And I had a child on the way as well. So things were not looking so hot for me at school. And I guess I had no other choice but to start paying attention to my mental health because of how much I was spiraling at that point. I was only 18, 19. So I went to, I was seeing a psychologist. And the psychologist had mentioned how I was experiencing postpartum depression. So it was at that point where I realized that my mental health needed some attention and I was experiencing a lot of symptoms from my childhood, let alone from my current situation. And so I ended up changing my major to psychology. And from there, I really felt like I fit in. I felt like I was understanding myself better, my own history, and I was more comfortable overall with the major. And I decided to go full swing into it, to the point of looking into graduate programs. And becoming a therapist seemed to be what would allow me to use my expertise in the best way, and also a flexible career for being a single mother at that time. So that's how I got into it, essentially.
What population do you work with?
Currently, I work with individuals, teens and up, that experience trauma and live with anxiety.
And like, why did you choose this?
A specialty?
Yeah.
I got my license in 2017, so I'm only about to be 2 years into it, but I've been going to school for this specialty, I guess, since 2014 in the marriage and family therapy realm. And I think I chose trauma and anxiety true to this because of my childhood, because I experienced trauma, because I experienced anxiety, so it's easier for me to relate and provide more help with that, because I know it. I know it like the back of my hand, not just textbook, but personally. So I feel a connection to it without being triggered. So I think that's why I'm able to help individuals that have these experiences.
And was like mental health a big part in your family as like when you're growing up, or was it ever discussed?
No, it was not really discussed by any means. I talk about this where just basically el estrés was discussed growing up. But in terms of going to therapy, I didn't even know that was an option, really. Actually, until we actually had a DCFS case and we had to go to therapy for a little bit.
What was it? Like, what, DTFS? What's that?
The Department of Children and Family Services was called on our family.
Oh, okay.
So the social workers mandated for us to be in family therapy. And so we did, I mean, I was 16 at that point. So that's when I kind of knew, you know, what therapists did. But I personally didn't even have a good experience. I was bullied in my therapy. And then when they switched me over to my individual therapy, I was with a male who I was extremely uncomfortable with and who would get very close to me. It just was not a fit by any means.
Wow.
So I didn't have a good experience with it, but I didn't allow that to be, I didn't generalize that to other therapies. I knew logically I was 16. I knew I just had a bad experience at that point and that there was better help out there. I just didn't bother to seek for it until I had my son.
And like, how did your family deal with like el stress, I guess? What was their form of therapy?
Yeah, so I guess their form of coping, right? Uh-huh. They so for me, I had el stress because I had assignments due and I would get really, really stressed out if the printer stopped working, or, you know, we had a different type of internet before. We had dial up. Mm-hmm. So if the dial up wasn't working and I couldn't do my research, I would cry and get so stressed out.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yes, right? It was so frustrating. So that's why the stress would pop up a lot. But I was also dealing with anxiety that they didn't recognize. Mm. So my mom and my dad and my siblings, they would kind of just try to cater and problem solve. And they'd be like, you know, it's okay, we'll figure this out. Or we can go to my job and you can use the printer. So very problem solving type of family, no other way in terms of my stress. Mm-hmm. When they had financial stress, I would remember that they would just hustle and, you know, start selling on the street corners and try to work it out that way. They were kind of always in survival mode. Mm. I guess that's how I grew up, very much in survival mode.
Yeah. That sucks though, to constantly be like in that, I guess, in survival mode, like constantly like not being able to relax, like constantly being on, like being afraid that you might not be able to like feed your kids or like provide the essentials or the basics, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, that's how my mom definitely grew up. So she was the one that would, she ran the house, essentially. Mm. My dad didn't, my mom would run the house. Yeah. And so it was under her wishes.
Yeah, like I heard, whose episode was it? I don't remember, but you mentioned that she wore the pants in the family. Like, that made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. So, like, my mom's a fierce little Guatemalan woman.
So, like, what was your relationship like with them? Or what is your relationship like with them?
With my mom, I grew up very, very, very much afraid of her, honestly, because I would see how she treated my older siblings, and I didn't like it. It was very violent. It was extremely violent. And I think because we had a different father from them, she treated us differently, because I guess in her eyes we had protection. It wasn't just her parenting 100%. She shared that parenting responsibility, and my father would not allow her to touch us by any means, to hit us. That's what I'm referring to. So we didn't experience necessarily the violence and that type of abuse, but I witnessed it. I saw her doing that to the others. So I was always very afraid of her, and I would try to please her very much. But I realized that I had a voice, you know, after I became a mother. Mm-hmm. At that point, I really wasn't afraid of her anymore. Mm. So it took a long time. And with my dad, I was always, always super, super, super close to him. Like I've always considered him to be the healthier parent. Mm. The one that, just always nurtured us. He was always very warm. And we could go and talk to him because he was very open-minded. And my mom has not been open-minded. We still struggle with it, but now it's more like we can all laugh about it, including her. Like, she knows that times have changed, but she's not caught up. Mm.
So, like, now that you're a therapist, do they seek help, or like, do they seek therapy for any, or now that they have somebody in the family that's a therapist? Has the stress, like viewing it as stress, like, has it changed your mind and to seek some kind of way to, like, I guess, help their mental health?
Well, you know, what's funny is that when I come home from some trainings and I decide, my mom's my neighbor, by the way. Oh. So when I come home and then I go next door and I talk to my mom, or I see her outside in El Jardín and I tell her, you know, oh, I just went to this trauma training and this is what I learned and this is what I'm going to do in sessions. Usually her reaction is very much, she's very afraid. She's afraid and she starts crying. My mom experienced severe trauma in Guatemala. She fled when she was 15 years old. Hearing about what I do for her, I've learned, has triggered her, but it has opened her mind. She's not to a point where she's ready to go into therapy. I think for her, she still considers it a waste of her time, but she knows that she needs it. But she's very open now about talking about feelings, about not calling other people crazy, because I've taught her crazy is an adjective for an experience, not people. Mm. So she's very much open to not saying, like, está loco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things like that. And she catches herself if she does. So it's been very beautiful to see that in her. Mm. And more than anything, when she talks to me, she says that she doesn't want to because she's afraid that she'll never be able to stop crying. Oh. Or she's afraid of just revisiting those memories. So she's not ready. She's not, I don't know if she ever will be, but she's at least more open about her feelings and that mental health exists. I mean, I have said, you know, you're not gonna cry forever, but the relationship I have with her is not, you know, in the therapist role by any means. Mm-hmm. So I'm just me, and I'm just telling her versus guiding her. Because when I'm in the therapist role, I'm guiding, I'm warmer, I'm softer. But with her, I'm not as, I want to say, warm necessarily. I'm not cold either, but I'm just like more like as a matter of fact type. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I use some of the skills, but more than anything, I know that my mom has just needed someone to listen to her. So I'm her daughter that listens to her.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sometimes my sisters are the listeners, but yeah, I don't try to apply too many things, especially because I don't think she would reciprocate well to that. She would probably think I'm a know-it-all, and it just, we don't have that kind of relationship. I think I've learned emotional boundaries because I used to be my mom's rescuer when I was little. She used to cry to us and tell us about her problems, which I learned wasn't necessarily healthy for us. And it would stress me out a lot listening to that as a young child, even as a teen. I would get very, very overwhelmed with her feelings. I didn't know how to handle it, but I knew I didn't want my mommy to be crying.
Oh, yeah.
So at this point in my life, I learned that my mom just needs to process that on her own her own style, and I'm just gonna be there for her in the way that isn't burdensome for me. Mm-hmm. And that way is just listening and putting a shoulder on her hand or giving her a massage, because she loves massages. Mm-hmm. And she feels better that way. Mm-hmm. But giving her the skills, I don't think that should come from me. Okay. Because it hasn't been well received.
How did you learn how to do that? Like it was it through schooling or like through your research, like to like know when to do it and when it's time to like go on like therapist mode and when to like know to shut it off?
Well, therapist mode for me is work mode. So if I'm not in work, as soon as I walk out those doors, I'm me again, you know, like not that I'm not me in the room, because I really am, but I, you know, with my family, you're more comfortable to, you know, yell if you want to yell, or to say things bluntly if you want to say things bluntly. I've learned to compartmentalize and deal with it mostly through personal experience and therapy. It's just boundaries.
So can you tell me about Latinx therapy?
Yeah, Latinx therapy started as a podcast in April 2018. So just shy of a year, a little bit. And I really wanted it to be the platform, the audio platform for people, for our people to get educated on, to learn that these topics are normal around all over the world, all over the United States. Mm-hmm. Because I interview mental health professionals and individuals all over the US. It's not just here California based. So I wanted them to get different perspectives and learn that other Latinx voices have the same struggle as well. And they don't have to be celebrities, high profile people. Some of them are, but there's also, you know, people that are just our everyday people and have anxiety and have depression and haven't been able to talk about it because of that stigma. Mm-hmm. So that's where it really, that's the motivation for it being birthed.
And like, why did you choose to do a podcast though? Like, why in a podcast form? Because not a lot of people know podcasts. Like, podcasting is just right now growing and picking up. So like, why a podcast? Why not maybe like a blog, or I mean, I don't know, maybe a TV, try to like go on a TV show, like a local news radio or like a local TV channel and do it that way?
Well, to do a blog, you have to type and write and create content that way, and a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't like writing and typing. So I already do that for my clinical notes. That's enough for me in my life. And that's even a lot. And then doing a YouTube channel or going on TV appearances, I'm extremely introverted. So that has been very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. It was even difficult for me to even do a podcast because I couldn't even hear my own voice. I wasn't that confident with it. Mm-hmm. Starting off. So I thought podcasting would be the less intimidating out of all of my options out there, and more consistent, and on a basis where I could control it. Mm-hmm. To a sense where I can release when I want to release, I can interview how I want to interview, and bring on whoever I want to interview. I'm not controlled by anyone. True. So, you know, that's why I chose podcasting. Mm-hmm. I did a course on it because I had so much anxiety and I wanted it to be right, and I did it. It came out just fine.
What do you mean a course? Like, you taught people how to do it?
No, someone taught me how to do it.
Oh, you took classes for podcasting.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know you could take classes for podcasting.
Yeah, it's that course is specifically for therapists. Oh. It's called the Healthcasters. Uh-huh. But yeah, it definitely helped me overcome my anxiety. We had monthly meetings also. It took me about 6 months, I believe, of studying time. And then at the end, I was just like, okay, I just got to do it now. I got to do it. I was getting over my own anxiety and self-doubt.
So is that the, like, is that the person you are? Like, you need to prepare yourself before you do something? Like me, for example, like, I just bought the equipment and boom, I recorded and I put it out there. Like, I wish I would have got classes. Like, I feel like I would have been a little more prepared, because right now I'm as I'm sinking, I'm just like reaching for stuff. And luckily there's been stuff there that I could like hold on to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, is that the type of person you are?
Well, not generally, no, because I feel like I'm a little bit on the lazier side. But with certain projects, if I want it to come out right, I do need to prepare for it. I need it to be right. So, you know, this was one of them where I'm going to be investing so much of my time away from my son, that I really wanted to be sure that I knew what I was getting myself into. Because there was, during the course, there was still that doubt that like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if this is the right platform. Through it all, yes, this was the best platform for me. But yes, to answer your question, typically I'm not that kind of person where I over prepare. It's just for mainly for the bigger projects. If I have a speaking engagement, you can bet I'm gonna prepare.
So for those, like, is it just going over what you're gonna talk about, or like, do you have any like special like ways for you to like relax? Yeah, when it comes like, whereas like, I don't know, for me, like I play music and that helps me relax a little bit. So when I'm studying, like I'm able to like memorize it better. Like, do you have any little tricks like those, like to help you, like, I don't know, like get a little bit more relaxed so you can actually like do what you gotta do?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I don't too much besides I overstress in the moment, and I just need to overstress. I need to be allowed my space alone. I cannot have my son around when I'm preparing. I definitely do need to make sure that all his needs are met before I can engage in mine. So that's definitely one. And besides that, I just repeat, it's memorization or just preparing. Like, you know, when I'm about to interview a guest, I do prepare. I do make sure that I have my questions. And yes, I can stray away from those, but my questions help me ease my anxiety. Having resources to reflect back on and to say on the air, that's very helpful for me. So I think it's more mental strategies more so. Music will not help me because it'll just take me out of my mind. I'll get frustrated with it. I'll be like, shut up, stop it.
It's too overwhelming for you trying to do too many things, right?
Yeah, and I do definitely need to take deep breaths. Diaphragmatic breathing has been essential to my, I feel, to my success and my resiliency.
So how did you hear about podcasting?
My fiance, he is a huge podcast fanatic. And he's the one that truly introduced me to them. I mean, I knew that they existed, right? Like, I'm a millennial. I knew that they're out there. I just never really cared to listen too much to them. I am in Facebook groups and people would mention, oh, this is great, you know, so that you become a better therapist, and they talk about techniques. So, you know, I had heard of some. But really, really, my fiance was the one that introduced me to different type of storytelling type of podcast, themed ones. And so he helped me brainstorm a lot of my podcasts because he really has the history. He's been listening to them since they first started in the early 2000s sometime. So that's where I truly heard it from.
So can you tell me about the podcast and like what do you do and like the type of guests you have on?
Yeah, so I use Latinx therapy as an educational platform, and I interview mental health professionals in English and in Spanish about myths within the Latinx culture, about the culture itself, about taboo topics. You know, for us growing up, we weren't able to talk about drugs, alcohol, sex, relationships. In my family, at least, I was never allowed to have a boyfriend. So we destigmatize a lot of the things that our parents wanted and our ancestors wanted to stay hush hush on. And we provide education based off of these topics. And once a month, I also bring on a Break the Stigma guest. And a Break the Stigma guest is a non-mental health professional. They can be, but lately it's been a non-mental health professional where they talk about a point in their time when mental health became important in their world, when mental health was pivotal and they started really to prioritize mental health. When was that point? Because for many Latinx individuals, it varies. It could be in childhood during a traumatic incident, or it could be in adulthood after a certain relationship. It's just been so much on the spectrum, very, very different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk about all that. I like, you know, for people to know that it's safe for us to talk about it and you're not alone, because a lot of people feel like they are alone in these thoughts, and that's not the case by any means.
Mm-hmm. So, and how do you choose the, like, the segments or like the topics you're going to talk about?
I think about them based off of my experience growing up, based off of my childhood, really. I really, truly experienced a lot. So I really pick and choose based off of that. And it's commonly the needs of the community as well. They're just not being talked about. So first and foremost, I do reflect on that. At least season one was a lot from my own personal experience brought into professional topics. But as the podcast has grown, I have received requests to do certain topics. Season three coming up is going to be about children's mental health. So those topics are truly, you know, coming from the community, and I'm selecting the right mental health professionals for each topic.
So you skipped season two?
No, I'm in season two right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was like...
Currently.
The one I just heard, that was season one? Like where Wilmer was featured?
That's season one.
And then right now you're working on season two.
Yeah, I have half of it already recorded. I stopped November.
Okay.
So I'm picking it up this week.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I was like, wait, like, I'm confused. But okay, cool. Why did you choose to do it in segments? Or like, in, yeah, seasons? You said seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why in seasons? Like, whoa, like mine is just a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, I think because the way that I wanted it laid out for the website or for iTunes, Apple Podcast, any platform that people visit, I really want it now to be in themes so that people know where an episode is. So children's mental health, they're going to know that's all in season three. So for any parents looking for how do I talk with my kid about sex or about truancy or bullying, they'll know this is the season. It'll be easier to navigate through. Because I decided I'm just gonna go forward doing the podcast in themes. I still don't know exactly yet, you know, what the themes to come will be, but all I know is that season three is definitely gonna be themed, and going forward it should be as well.
Okay. And like, how do you choose who what experts to have on to like each topic? Like, is that like, does like you have a person in mind and then you kind of cater an episode towards them, or how does it work?
I have a community of Latinx psychotherapists and psychologists on Facebook that I created in November 2017, and there's over 1,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, yeah, so it's been really beautiful, and I started off there where I would, you know, kind of get to know the people. I love knowing my guests. So I did network with them and got to know what their specialties are. And I do request that my guests have some personal experience with the topic, again, because I think that makes it more relatable. So starting off, that's kind of where I searched for my guests. And now that I know more people on a nationwide level and also internationally, I'm able to know which mental health professional is gonna be a good fit for each topic. And if I don't know, then I ask my community for recommendations.
And so the first season, what was the theme again?
That one didn't have a theme because it was, you know, my first go around. So it was kind of sporadic.
Okay.
When La Chancla Crosses the Line, it was about bipolar. It was about La Vergüenza. There were a lot of really good themes.
So every episode, do you do it like in Spanish and English?
Every episode, I do it in Spanish and in English. But the Break the Stigma segments are usually just in the language of what the guest prefers.
So like, tell me about the website. Because I know this is like a project that you've been working on lately, right? Like, it's been taking a lot of your time.
Oh, yeah. It took like from January to November, really. But that I did hire help because it's very techy, very tech-based skills that I don't have in that sense. I could develop a website, But this one has a directory. This one has a search engine for educational services. The website is really the hub for our community, our Latinx families, to go on there and find recommended books, find mental health apps, mental health YouTube channels in English and in Spanish, community agencies, like I mentioned, that serve our people in Spanish and in English for free or low cost, or that accept insurance anywhere in the world, nationwide. I have the directory of Latinx mental health professionals where, you know, again, if people have insurance or if they want to pay out of pocket, they could search the directory for a professional, a Latinx professional for them. And I have now the tiendita, the little shop where I'm selling my destigmatizing merch for people that want to create conversations outside in their homes or in the world anywhere. And they represent, you know, the destigmatizing information. And yeah, there's just so much on there, but we're also expanding it to create another version where you can find a Latinx mental health professional speaker, or they don't even have to be a mental health professional. They could be a mental health advocate, but they do speaking engagements. So that's version 2.0 coming, I believe in February, it should be done.
I mean, you think of everything, like, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Are you trying to be like the Google for like therapy?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you're doing a great job by the sound of it, you know?
Thank you.
You're thinking of everything. Also, in fact, your podcast is also transcribed for for the hearing impaired, right?
It is, yes. I just have been having difficulty finding a place or... I'm learning the system also, because remember, the website wasn't created by me. So I'm trying to learn how to integrate it. But yes, I did also transcribe each episode in English and in Spanish for the deaf and hard of hearing community. So whenever I get emails, I'm able to send them out. But hopefully in the near future, I'm able to just have them on the website so they can just read it off of there.
So right now, if somebody that can't hear, that's deaf, they would have to go to the episode and read it on the description, or you call it something else?
Yeah, they would have to email me right now. As of right now, they would have to email me and request it, and I'll send it over. I had someone from Argentina also help me with that. So I'm so grateful to have help from all over the world, really, to make this project continue and happen, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And how long has this process, how long have you been going through this process of making your website? Like, when did you start?
Yeah, it was January where I was conceptualizing it and really thinking about it before I hired developers, because once you hire developers, you got to know what you want, right?
Yeah.
So I gave it 3 to 4 months of thinking and conceptualizing, and then they began building and we launched in November.
Okay. So yeah. Going back to the podcast, to the hearing version of it, or the audio version of it.
Yep.
So your last episode, the one I heard, was teen pregnancy, right? Like, it had to do with your teen pregnancy. Was that always the episode that you knew you were going to end on?
No. And that's still season 2. So I'm not even done with that season. Uh-huh. I didn't mean to end. I guess I ended the year with that episode, right? Mm-hmm. But that was not intentional. I recorded that one because I had been receiving a lot of messages on social media from teen parents, single mothers, who wanted to hear about my story. And I had been holding back a lot because, I mean, it's a very vulnerable thing to talk about. And I didn't even know before how to even talk about it. It wasn't until I started podcasting that I really found comfort in my own voice and in my own story. I was always ashamed of my voice and of my teen pregnancy, because that's, you know, how my parents reacted to me and to my pregnancy at first. So I think I still had that residual shame but I decided to just go for it. I typed out, you know, my session, I typed out my episode and I aired it, and it got a lot of positive feedback, thankfully.
Yeah, I enjoyed it myself. I don't have any kids.
Oh, thank you.
And I really enjoyed it. And but yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure that was hard. Like, what made you want to do it though? Like, I mean, one thing is to think about it and then people tell you that you should do it, but what, like, made you want to actually, like, go through with it?
Well, the podcast is a platform to help others, and I'm grateful to be in a position also right now to be an influencer, right? To be helping out other people, and I have the mental health professional training for it. So I feel healthy enough to be able to talk about my story to a point where it's not triggering for me. So I thought that this was the right time and the right platform to do it, really. I heard people and I wanted to give back also in that way. I wanted to give my story out to the world, and it seems to have been helpful for a lot of people, thankfully.
It helped me kind of like think about how I should talk to my kids, or when, around what time, because you mentioned that thing, you said like around 8 years old, that's when you should like start having the talk, right? Or did I?
Yeah, developmentally. Okay. I'm gonna cover that in season 3, like how and what words to use, because everyone's a little lost, we're not trained for that. But definitely, I mean, your children should be aware of their own body from the moment that they're born, really. Mm-hmm. From very young, and they should learn their boundaries of, you know, where it's okay to touch, where it's not. And then it goes from there, you know, sex talk comes later on.
It made me think about how would I approach it? And like that episode, like I'm sure it has, like, it touched people like in different ways, like to think about their experiences and like maybe how they would go about it. But I feel like you did a great job with that episode, and like I said, thank you for doing it, because I mean, I'm sure it wasn't easy. Like, you had to, like, why did you split it up in two parts? Like, was it hard to do it, or
because of the editing content?
Oh okay. No,
it's truly because I record, especially when I'm doing solo episodes like that, or my intros and outros, or they're solo, I record after my son goes to sleep. And because I have to prepare the episode and what I'm going to say or the topics, then it takes a long time. It takes me a couple hours if I'm not distracted. And yeah, then I get sleepy. So for the first one, I got really, really tired afterwards. And I want to be sure that I took care of myself too, because I was giving.
Yeah.
And for the second one, I knew, you know, it was after his birth. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have their own themes too. Like, the first one was before he was born, and the second one's after he was born. So it made more sense in my brain too.
So, like, the break of stigma segments, like, where did that come from? Like, where did you get that idea? Like, did, like, somebody approach you and then that they wanted to be on, and you're like, okay, let's try this out? Or how did that work?
No, that one, I always knew I wanted to, because I didn't want to just have my podcast be for mental health professionals, because that's not what our community represents, you know. So I wanted to be well-rounded and also include people in the community that have overcome a mental health experience in any way, wherever they're at in their journey. If they're still in the dark pit hole, that's okay too. Like, we can talk about their strength, or, you know, that moment that they're in, if they want to. So I really wanted it to be very inclusive to anybody really.
And when did you realize that this was like something that needed to be put out there, like a podcast about like mental health for Latinos or Latinx people?
When I got licensed, I went off on my own and I opened my own private practice, my own practice in Porter Ranch. And many of my clients, I really wanted them to just drive and listen to something. And that didn't exist. It didn't exist in the modern form that I wish it did for them. There wasn't an educational platform for them to just listen to. Yeah, there's books, self-help books, but many of my people didn't have time to read necessarily. It would have been so convenient for them to just listen to something. So I created it because it just didn't exist. And it didn't exist all in the generational form that I wanted it to. I wanted it to be for all generations, mm-hmm. not just like one generation, for everybody. Mm. So that's why the Spanish segments also were created, so that they could reach our parents mm-hmm. that are monolingual.
Like, do your parents listen to your show?
Anything? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Spanish yeah. version or both?
I think the Spanish versions, I leave that up to them, you know, but usually I've gotten compliments from them like, oh, that one was really good. Or like, you talk a lot.
So like, what is Happy Actor? Like I saw that, like, do you also teach acting or what is that?
Oh, no, that somebody reached out. Natalie reached out to me, and that is her her Instagram handle and her business. And she's an actress, so she wanted me to teach the mental health components of it. So it's it was a retreat, basically, an online retreat for the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about jealousy, you know, with among actors. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about money stress and things related to acting, mm-hmm. their mental health.
Okay. And so
I was featured.
Yeah, and like your logo, like that's as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, she has something in her hands. Like, it reminds me of like mm-hmm. the '90s, like the '90s theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, like for me at least. Like what was your goal through that to catch people's attention? But like what, like, cause I saw your first one, it was kind of like, it was orangey and right.
Mm-hmm.
And then this yeah. was like nice and colorful. So I know you're like, that's the, like, that'll get your attention. But what was your, like, the letters are all different and all different colors. So like, what yes. was your like mindset when like when you came up with that?
Well, I came up with an idea, but truly, I hired Pam Covarrubias from Café con Pam mm-hmm. to design it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, she's based in San Diego mm-hmm. and she has her own podcast yeah. and she's a designer. So I hired her to create this vision of mine, mm. and I really wanted something that didn't have my name on it, but that was straightforward. It's a Latinx and therapy. And in terms of the design, I wanted it to be cultural. I wanted it to have that colorful aspect to our Latinidad, right? And I felt like she really hit it home when she, you know, did a lot of different designs and
different patterns. Yeah.
That's right.
Because mm-hmm. yeah, like, so. When I saw it, it reminded me of Saved by the Bell.
Oh,
yeah, that's why
I guess so.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. I thought that like maybe you, like as a child, you were like maybe inspired by it, or like that was your go to show, and you wanted
no.
to like pay homage to them a little bit.
No, no, that's so funny. I was really focused on like colorfulness of our culture.
Mm-hmm. So on top of all this, like, it's not enough. Like, you've actually been on a movie show, right? You've been on TV. You took
yeah.
part Una Mente, Una Vida. So that's the only Spanish segment.
Yes, yes. In The Nation, I believe, that focuses on mental health. And the reporter, Julio Cesar Ortiz, he studied to become a marriage and family therapist. He's doing his work to become licensed. So that's really cool, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's interviewed me on his show for my expertise, for my specialties, mm-hmm. trauma specifically, and EMDR.
So like, what's your ultimate goal for your show?
That's a good question, because I feel like I'm still learning, and, you know, given all the attention that it's getting, like, I'm still learning how to manage that as well, because it wasn't expected by any means. But I want my show to be more consistent, right? I want my show to be heard by all households, and for people to really gain education and try therapy. I think that's like my ultimate goal. I know it's a little unrealistic, but I would like people through it to want to try therapy for themselves, and know that there's resources out there, because I'm working really, really hard on showing that there's free and also paying versions of help. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I just I want to be out more in the community with Latinx therapy. I don't just want it to be an audio platform. I want to be doing more shows in the community. And I'm going to have a mental health panel in San Francisco in June. Oh, wow. And then I'll be in Texas doing a key speaking speaker engagement in April. So hopefully I can do a meet and greet there, but I'm gonna have the podcast birthday party be a mental health panel as well on May. So yeah, there's gonna be a few different events, and I want it to be nationwide too.
And is that the birthday party is gonna be here, or is it gonna be somewhere like in this? Okay.
Yeah, it'll be in Los Angeles. So I'm trying to secure a place in Altadena, but I don't know many details just yet, but I will soon, and I'll let everybody know.
Is that like, do you know if it's going to be like a paid event or like a free to the public type of deal?
I think that one might be, we might do it like low cost. Okay. Paying event. And anyone who wants to donate more is welcome to.
All right. Just like to cover at least the cost for the venue.
Yeah, typically that's, you know, the reason why I ask for money. If I'm asking for something, it's because I just, you know, want it to break even.
Yeah, I understand. So last question, right? When would you consider your podcast a success? Like, what needs to happen for you to be like, okay, it's a success. I did what I set out to do.
Well, I think for everybody, that's going to vary. I truly believe that when, if you set like one or two goals, maybe even three, but two goals, and if you reach those goals, then that's going to be your success. My success may not be the same for, you know, your success or for another podcaster's success. It's going to look super differently. I consider my success to be, you know, where my podcast is actually being heard by people and being shared and getting, you know, good feedback, where people are engaging with me. That's success for me, when there's engagement. But for other people, as you know, it's when there's like high number of subscribers, whether it's shared or not, they just want the numbers, right? For other people, it's when they're making money off of it. So for me, it's when it's being shared and when there's engagement. That's what makes me feel so good. Like, yes, my work was worth it. So when you find, you know, that it's worth it for you and it's not burdensome and it's not adding stress to your life, I would call that success.
Yeah. So people, if you, I mean, anybody, like anybody could benefit from her podcast. Like absolutely anybody, whether you have kids, whether you're being, she hits in so many topics, like I think abuse, you hit on, what's it called, like
shame,
like for like teen pregnancy, also like, yeah. Like I believe you did one with I don't know, I remember her name, but she's an actress. I think she did her
Noemi Gonzalez.
Yeah, and she schizophrenia with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then her brother had autism. So you hit a bunch That's of right. different topics that, you know, are not really talked about much. So is that, if there's anybody out there, like she makes sure she puts it out there, this is not a substitute for therapy, but you know, it helps you, like it opens up the conversation, it helps you kind of think about some of the things that you might be going through, or somebody that you might know might be going through. Yes. Helps you like understand a little bit like where they're at and maybe help them, you know. And like she mentioned, like she also has a website that gives you all the resources, and she mentions like on the beginning of the episode all the resources that you might be able to, like nonprofit and paid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, if I encourage everybody to go check out her podcast, make sure you go to her website, and if you could throw in some money, it's always helpful, you know, because I mean, it is, you know, like why not? Yeah. Like why not, if somebody has a dollar to spare, I mean, we spend more than that in a day, why not, you know, donate a dollar to a good cause.
Thank you. Yeah. All the donations go towards the community projects. So that's super exciting that we're able to be out there thanks to many of the donations. And yeah, they're very helpful. And I love what you do with your donations. You invert it into donations to organizations. So that's so awesome.
Yeah, well, I did that for the Border Angels. So that was just for like Christmas. So I know people, I mean, if they're spending money, like a bunch of money, then why not kick in, you know, just leave a review and then you're not doing much, just putting some words together, and I'm the one putting in the money, right?
That's right.
All right, so why don't you tell people all your information where they could find you, maybe if they want to seek your you as a therapist, where can they like come and talk to you?
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can find me and other mental health professionals at www.latinxtherapy.com. My personal website is counselingandtraumatherapy.com, but I can only serve individuals in the state of California. So really latinxtherapy.com would be the best place for you to find a professional for yourself. And we're all over social media, anywhere. You can find us at Latinx Therapy. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter is where we're active.
All right. And I'm not sure. Do you have, I think 2 more minutes to spare? So to play sevens, or do you need to like go?
We're good.
Okay, cool. So, before we go, you know, everybody knows I like to play a game called sevens. So for any new listeners, sevens is essentially a word association game where she chooses a category. And her goal is to hit the high score. So currently the high score is 27. So it's called sevens because you have 7 seconds to answer 7 questions. So it's going to be a total of 49 seconds. So choose a category, and depending on the category, I give you clues. But a little helpful hint. Okay. Go for something that you feel I'm going to be good at. Because since I'm giving you the clues, it matters if I know like of the subject.
Okay.
All right. So,
cartoons.
No, we don't have cartoons, but we have comics.
Oh no.
Okay, so it's general movies, TV show, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the '70s, the '80s, '90s, and their corresponding music, and the 2000s. Stand up, superhero, movie, action, movie, comedy, movie, rom com, movie, awareness, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. So, like I said, something that you feel I'm gonna be good at. Also, on top of you being good at it.
2000s music.
Ooh, okay, cool. All right, like I said, 7 seconds. It's going to be 7 questions. 7 seconds for each question. So you can't skip. If I can't give you the clue, then you don't get the points.
Okay, I'm not very good at stuff like this, but let's do it.
This is the first time I've actually played it with somebody not being in the room. So I don't know if the delay is going to be an issue, but...
We'll see.
Yep. All right. Umbrella, Ella,
Rihanna.
You're my baby, you're my darling angel. It wasn't me.
Shaggy.
Not monkeys, but the big ones.
Gorilla.
Like a salt shaker, shake it like
a little John.
Bringing sexy back.
Justin Timberlake.
Baby.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, I don't know who this is. it's like you make cookies out of this. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was I don't know, Daughtry. I don't know that. I was trying to be like,
I don't know how that is.
Go
either.
For dough somehow. But yeah. So you got 15. Unfortunately, you didn't get the high score, but hopefully you had fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you so much, Angel.
All right, so I'm gonna add my plugs at the end. I'm gonna just record on my own, that way I could let you go now. And I just want to thank you. You know, thank you for like giving me some time, the time of day, basically, and you know, confining me and like trusting that I'm gonna do a good job. And
oh yeah, I knew it.
And do like give you a good interview. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully you had fun. And I mean, you got out there what you wanted.
Thank you so much. Yes, this was such a fun interview. I'm so, so grateful for you. And I'm glad we finally put time on the calendar for this, because I know it's been months since we wanted to sit down and do this. But thank you.
Yeah, no, like I said, thank you. You're super busy, and everybody could tell that you have so much on your plate that I'm sure, you know, like you want to take care of that first. And no, I just appreciate you giving me time, like I said.
Of course, this was great.
All right, so I don't know how to end this, but I mean, I know how to end the show, but I don't
know.
We'll
drop the mic. All right, I'm gonna drop the mic right there. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
This song has been brought to you by Let Me Know Podcast. New episode every week, available on all streaming platforms.